Welcome to Alive and Active Life, broadcasting encouragement to live your daily life with God's help and inspiration to reach for more of God by faith. Join Brenda Wolf for today's practical insights.
I remember a funny quote in the movie Mulan.
Dishonor! Dishonor on your whole family! Dishonor on you! Dishonor on your cow!
Thank you, Andrew. He's my sound technician. So, do you remember that quote? Incidentally, this rebuke is spoken by Mushu, a Chinese dragon, Mulan's companion. Actually, dishonor is something like shame. In fact, dishonor is a strong match for shame, according to a thesaurus. You might wonder if I'm going to suggest, under no circumstances should you allow yourself to experience shame. Not so. Unfortunately, too many people don't have a healthy contrition anymore. Conversely, many people don't know what to do with undeserved shame. Let's explore the shame thing. Every time we do scripture dissection, we explore four categories. First, what does it say? Second, what does it mean? Third, make it personal. And fourth, make a commitment. So let's start with what does it say? Scripture says a lot about dishonor. Let's group a few scriptures together under several different categories. Now, I'm going to explain that with each of the categories, I'll read a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to give you a short conclusion sentence at the end. The first category is wrongful degradation from others. Scripture number one, from Psalm 4, verses 1 to 2a. Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy on me and hear my prayer. How long will people turn my glory into shame? The next verse, under wrongful degradation from others, is from 1 Peter 3, verse 16. Have a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. The concluding sentence is this: people, and perhaps you, sometimes suffer undeserved shame from others. All right, moving on to the next category, which is rightful dishonor. The first scripture is from Psalm 6, verse 10. All my enemies shall be ashamed and greatly troubled. They shall turn back and be put to shame in a moment. Next scripture, Proverbs 13, verse 5. The righteous hates falsehood. The wicked brings shame and disgrace. Then from Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings shame on his mother. Okay, and the concluding sentence? Shame is sometimes deserved. Next category, God uses dishonor as a tool, and he also defends his people. First scripture from 1 Corinthians 1, verse 27. God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Then from Colossians 2, verse 15. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. And then from Zephaniah 3, verse 19, behold, I will save the lame and gather the outcast. I will change their shame into praise and renown in all the earth. Summary statement for this category: God uses shame for his purposes. He leverages grace to minimize shame on his followers. However, if they suffer shame, it's temporary. Essentially, he increases their honor from Psalms 71, verse 21, and he also comforts them. Fourth category is Jesus and dishonor. Scripture number one, as he said these things, all his adversaries were put to shame. That's from Luke 13, verse 17. Then from Romans 9, verse 33, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." Then looking over into Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2, "Look to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." And then the final scripture in that category, Jesus and dishonor, comes from 1 Peter 2, verse 6. "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone, a cornerstone chosen and precious. Whoever believes in him will not be put to shame." 1 Peter 2, verse 6 is very similar to the one we read in Romans. The summary statement for that category is simply this: Jesus' life, testimony, and character are impeccable. As a result, his life appropriately shames those who don't honor him. Additionally, Jesus models how to reject or despise wrongful shame. Also, he puts adversaries to shame, and simultaneously, he protects his people. Category number 5, protected from disgrace. Scripture number 1, "Oh my God, I trust in you. Let me not be put to shame. Let not my enemies exult over me." Psalm 25, verse 2. Next scripture from Isaiah 50, verse 7. "The Lord helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. I have set my face like a flint, and I know I shall not be put to shame." Third scripture is from Romans 5, verse 5. "Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us." And then the final scripture in that section, protected from disgrace, is from Romans 10, verse 11. Scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." The summary: God protects his children from disgrace and guards their hearts. Strategically, he powerfully covers them with love. Interestingly, he turns scenarios in their favor when they suffer. Faith makes this real. Okay, that was the section of what does it say? So that was what all of those different scriptures said about shame. But now let's talk about what does it mean, the second category we always cover. Shame can be healthy, but it can also be unhealthy. The way you respond makes the difference. Let's explore healthy responses to shame. The first one is to turn to God in sincere humility. If you have been wrong, let shame do its work through another word, remorse. Incidentally, remorse gets you back where you should be with God and others. True remorse is a healthy motivator to do quite a few things, and here's a short list. It helps to motivate you to push forward into godly character, then also to be grateful for God's undeserved grace. Remorse also motivates you to enjoy friendship with God, so undeserved. It also motivates to manage relationships and communication better. Remorse also helps you to accept responsibilities. And finally, in this short list, remorse helps you to live in hope. So, that first response to shame, the healthy response, is to turn to God in sincere humility. The second healthy response is to ask God to break cycles of disgrace. Accept his comfort if you have been wrongfully shamed. Remarkably, God has an uncanny way of turning events in favor of his children. So here's what you do. First, come to him. Then let go of the need to look good. Next, relax into God. And finally, ask for wisdom and strength to manage unfair dishonor. So, by doing those things, you can ask God to break the cycles of disgrace, and you partner with Him as you do those things. The third healthy response to shame is to remember. Shame does not define you. God defines you, whether you are wrong or right. Accept God's value over your life. Shame does not define you. God does. And then the fourth category that we're going to look at, healthy response to shame, is to obey God's word. Go forward. God keeps His promises. Further, as already mentioned, He increases your honor. That was from Psalm 71, verse 21. Additionally, God shames your enemies. However, you have a part. Be thankful for His conviction. That's one part. When you are wrong, okay? And then equally, be confident of His promises on your behalf if you have been wronged. So either way, right or wrong, you have a portion. If you're wrong, be thankful for His conviction. If you're not wrong and you have been wronged, be confident in His promises. Obey God's word. Alrighty, we've looked at some healthy responses to shame. Now let's look at some unhealthy responses to shame. Many people don't engage remorse for doing shameful things. How unfortunate. Conversely, some folks get stuck in a self-reproach cycle. They spin their wheels and they get nowhere. Sadly, many people shamelessly lie, cheat, oppress, and lust after pleasures with no embarrassment. How tragic. Oddly, when these folks face trouble, they want God to make it better. Even worse, they blame God. Plus, they want no consequences for sins or poor choices. Essentially, they have no remorse. Consequently, they use God for their agenda, but they don't respond to His warnings or love. God is fully aware of all of that. Mankind often mislabels and judges. Frankly, God doesn't like that. So He resolutely carries out His principles in individuals and in the world. He always will, despite unhealthy responses to shame, carry out His principles. Okay, we've talked about healthy responses to shame and unhealthy responses to shame. Now it's time to talk about healthy people. Healthy people pursue proactive responses. Here's a list of some of the things that healthy people pursue. First of all, they migrate toward maturity and growth. Second, they deflect wrongful judgments of other people on them. Third, they speak the truth. Fourth, they trust God to address unfair scenarios. Next, they avoid being self-centered, judging others, mislabeling, and disrespecting others. The next point, they know they are valued. And then the final point, they live with a balance of remorse and hope all the time. This combo, remorse and hope together, set you free. Open your conscience to God's Spirit. Equally ask Him to heal your conscience. Let Him guide your mind. Additionally, ask Him to instruct your heart. Remarkably, He disarms those who put you down. God saves and lifts you up when you need help, if you humbly turn to Him. Okay, that was a look at what does it mean. The third section in our scripture dissection articles is make it personal. Have you experienced dishonor somehow? Well, if you have, you're not alone. Shame isn't bad if it nurtures you into holiness. Again, a helpful word is remorse. Jesus gives some suggestions to help make it personal. So here they are. Consider these suggestions on how to manage shame. Number one, accept there's an appropriate time for shame and disgrace. Are you in such a time now? Have you been self-centered? Is there sin in your life? Incidentally, if you embrace remorse, you choose a healthy path through your shame. The second suggestion, God knows when you are mislabeled and judged. He wants you to reject wrongful judgments that others put onto you. He esteems you. In fact, he says, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with unfailing kindness. From Jeremiah 31, verse 3. Nevertheless, you decide what you let land in your soul. Trust God to disarm those against you. Actually, God will raise you up as you humbly trust Him. The third point is to live in God's original design. Work against evil. Engage God's ways each day. Diffuse those who spread lies. Model God's love through good works. Speak truth with generosity, kindness, and respect. Essentially, live like Jesus did. Alrighty, the fourth suggestion on how to handle shame. Embrace God's promises. He ensures your enemies won't exalt over you. Hope in God. Focus your efforts to develop Christ-like character. After all, He's given you His Spirit. Subsequently, you can accomplish your life purpose. And then the fifth suggestion to manage shame is to pursue a thoughtful, hopeful approach to world events, to your community, and to your friends and family. God declares you can do all things through Christ's strength, from Philippians 4:13. So, pass it on. Choose to see others like God sees you. I do want to go over the suggestions again on how to manage shame. First of all, accept there's an appropriate time for shame and disgrace. Take a look. Where are you at? Second, God knows when you have been mislabeled and judged. So trust that He will raise you up as He's promised. Number three, live in God's original design. Basically, like Jesus did. Number four, embrace His promises. And you can accomplish your life purpose by doing that. Number five, pursue a thoughtful, hopeful approach to the world, to everything in your life, and choose to see others the way God sees you. The fourth category in all of our scripture dissection exercises is make a commitment. And here's where we'll talk about the application thoughts and questions. First, list what you will do when degraded by others. Second, deflect wrongful judgments put onto you by other people. Remember, God defines you, not shame and not other people. Third, Jesus will deal with those who dishonor you, so live in gratitude and hope. Number four, God protects you from disgrace when you obey His ways. Romans 10:11 says that everyone who believes in Him will not be put to shame. Number five, what response do you need to change when convicted of sin or a misstep? Number six, trust God's methods in your life. Trust His love for you. And number seven, live with the balance of remorse and hope together all the time. This combination sets you free. I invite you to follow us on your favorite social media. Do sign up on our email list to receive weekly articles. Plus, tune in to our weekly podcast using your preferred podcast app or use the online player at the top of each of our articles. Visit our website for resources to get into God's Word and live an alive and active life.
You've been listening to Brenda Wolf with Alive and Active Life. Visit our website at www.aliveandactivelife.org, your web-based home for resources, including books and ebooks, libraries of articles, podcasts, and more, as you navigate life's challenges and issues. Sign up on our email list and subscribe to our podcast to stay current with the tools you need to be the person God designed, living an alive and active life.